I speak to you in the name of God, God who creates, redeems, and sustains. Amen. Please be seated. This traditionally is the Sunday after the Ascension, and we now in the Anglican Church have renamed this Sunday to being Jerusalem Sunday. So why have we done that? And there's a couple of reasons that are pretty important. Number one, we know that we are starting to understand more of the Scripture in a very spiritual way and in a metaphorical way. We have gone and rediscovered the early meanings of Scripture as early church people understood it. They understood it as being spiritual and metaphorical, where symbolism was used, human symbolism was used to present a greater, more awesome spiritual meaning, which is much more difficult to describe in human words. And so the ascension of Jesus was meant as before about the year 1600. People understood it to be that Jesus was present with them in a spiritual way for 40 days, that they had the visions and the sense of Jesus' presence, and then he rose to be in fullness with God and was over all the earth in a metaphysical way. People understood this. And about the year 1600 and going forward with what's known as the Enlightenment, where science was starting to come forward, where everything was being documented and everything was hard and real, the church in response to this lost its way, honestly. It said, well, if that's happening with science, we have to be science. And so they said, we have to say that everything that you find in the Bible is literally true. And it never was meant to be literally true. It was meant to be a spiritual and philosophical post of understanding more deeply the way of God. And so in this postmodern age, and in the modern age, the age of the Enlightenment, people tried to literalize the Scripture. And so you have this imagery of Jesus walking around and then rising up on the 40th day, which was last Thursday. Now we understand it to be, in a sense, of a spiritual understanding of Jesus' presence with everybody, and that Jesus being in the fullness of God, being God the Father, God the Son. And soon we celebrate next week being joined with God the Holy Spirit, next Sunday being Pentecost Sunday, where we have an understanding of God's Spirit resting with all of us. And we will take the imagery from the book of Acts, where at 9 o'clock in the morning the Spirit came and rested on everybody. And next Sunday morning we will invite you who speak in other languages besides English, perhaps to say the Lord's Prayer in the language of your birth, if you were speaking another language other than English. Say the Lord's Prayer, if you wish, in that other language. But it's again to have that sense of God's universalism. So in the midst of those two celebrations, we have now today Jerusalem Sunday. Because Jerusalem is, without a doubt, the most holy city in the world for people of faith. For people of Abrahamic faith. Now, what do I mean by Abrahamic faith? Abrahamic faith is all people who accept that our understanding of God is shaped by the understanding of Yahweh, which is found in what we call the Old Testament, what Jews call the Hebrew Bible, and what Muslims call the Book of Divine Faith. And also that's true for the Sikh people who go and worship in the Sikh temple, which we have many in our area. All of these people are what we would call people of Abrahamic faith. That we share in common what we as Christians call the Old Testament. And our shaping of how we understand God is shaped by the Old Testament. There is a unity of that understanding of God. Even though there's a lot of disunity, that is a source of unity. And in the midst of all of that, there's one spot in Jerusalem where all the great world religions claim to be a holy place. And that is where you saw the American administration go last week to the wall. And in that same area, within feet of it, is something called the Temple Mount, where Christians believe the ascension of Jesus took place. That's the metaphor. This is where it happened. And then you also have the people who follow the prophet. They call it the name has just gone out of my head now. The Dome of the Rock. Thank you, Father Mike. The Dome of the Rock. And that's where they believe that part of the vision that Muhammad had was there at the Dome of the Rock. So it's known as, if you want, in spiritual talk, thin places where you're most spiritual. I mean, you can have a thin place, and that's not at some health club. You can have a thin place, though you could have it there, I suppose, some place where you feel where you are close to God. It's spiritually meaningful. I mean, some people have a thin place where they sit on a rock by the water and breathe the air and feel God is present with them. But worldwide in organized religion, this spot in Jerusalem is known as a thin spiritual place. That the boundaries between the understanding of God and the world is less and God is more, is a place of reflection known as a thin place. And so this place is in Jerusalem. And so we in the Anglican Church celebrate today as Jerusalem Sunday, holding up Jerusalem to be a holy city for us as well as for Jews and Muslims and Sikh people. And so that's why we've named today that way. And we pray for all of the various works that happen in the name of Christianity, and especially Anglican Christianity in Jerusalem. We have a college there called St. George's. We have a lot of Anglican presence in Jerusalem in that area, where people go and make pilgrimage to be at the holy place, but also to find a respite within an Anglican setting near that spot in Jerusalem. So we pray for all the people who are ministering there. So what does that mean for us living in Agassiz? I mean, it's nice to know if you're going to go on a trip. Okay, good. But there's more than that. Because it's also a place where emanating from that is the idea of God's love. The idea that we must practice with each other a sense of agape. Now, agape, when I was younger, and I was once, I guess we all were, agape was seen as like a nice supper that you'd have together instead of the Eucharist, and it would be a blessed supper, a sign of love. But agape is more than that. Agape means the idea that there's a communal love. That we have, when we gather together after church today, and we have coffee together, around tables, and we've all got some food, that's an agape. We are shared in the sense that we are a community where we trust and we love one another. We are relaxed with one another and we're sharing food with one another in a space where it's safe. But Agape in Jerusalem, it should be a place of safety for all. It should be a place of safety for Jews and for Christians and for Muslims and Sikhs to gather and to share together and to celebrate together that we have a knowledge of God, of one God on the one planet, and we are one people together. And the heartbeat of that should be out of Jerusalem. And so we pray that various people who prevent that from happening today because of civil desire for power would put that aside and start to see it as a place where we elevate it up in holiness, in thanksgiving for God in our lives. But that's a community of safety, a community of agape, where love emerges for each other, where we stand against hostility, where we work actively for reconciliation, that we work actively for the rights of others as well as ourselves, where we work actively for inclusion instead of exclusion. And when we are doing that, we are living our lives in the spirit of agape. So on this Jerusalem Sunday, for us in Agassiz, it is a time for us to ask ourselves, we follow God, a God of love, who loves us all. We follow a God who came amongst us and demonstrated through the ministry of Jesus Christ, both before the crucifixion and after Easter, the sense of restoration, of love, forgiveness, a sense of peace, a sense of caring. That's agape. Are we today practicing agape in our lives? That's the challenge. Are we practicing this kind of love? Or do we let our human instinct of self-preservation sometimes take over? So if somebody says an unkind word to you, do you receive that and say, that's where the person is at this moment? Or do you get defensive and say, all right, you want to be damn nasty to me, I can be 10 times nastier, you know, and shoot back? That's not agape. If I had my puppets of Giraffe and Jackal here, that's Jackal. And we are called to be more in agape, Giraffe. Caring, understanding, working to listen, working to restore and maintain a relationship and deepen it. So as we think about Jerusalem, which should be the heartbeat of the presence of a living God in the world, we pray and are sad when it's not, but we also pray for its possibility. For it is a place where people are pouring their lives into trying to restore the idea of the love of God, the agape. And I pray today, as we receive the sacrament, that Jesus alive symbolically within us as we receive the sacrament may lead us to renew our own efforts at practicing in our own lives the restorative love of God, the agape. May God bless us all. Amen.